In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So then, putting away all falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members one of another. That's what Paul tells the people of Ephesus, to speak the truth to each other, because they are all interconnected, members of one another. That sounds straightforward enough. This isn't one of Paul's long and meandering commands. Speaking the truth to each other sounds clear-cut, but as we well know, it is not. And perhaps the greatness of truth is nowhere more apparent than in the South. Not only is truth often evasive, but we tend to weigh the benefits of telling the truth against the benefits of masking the reality to protect the other person. An oft example of this would be when your wife asks, "Does this dress she's wearing look good?" When in fact, it does not. Is it better to tell her that it looks good, therefore not telling the truth, but making her feel good about herself, or to be honest and just come out and say that the dress looks horrible? Naturally, we tend to find ways to shade the truth. The dress is fine, but I like this other one much better. Thus the web begins. Is it okay to do that? To shade the truth if it keeps the peace and protects the feelings of another person? It probably is okay to choose your words carefully if you're put in a precarious position and truly want to protect the other person from being hurt or embarrassed. But as always, we must look deep within ourselves to see who it is that we're really trying to protect. In Jocelyn Jackson's book, Gods in Alabama, Arlene Fleet leaves Alabama, vowing that she will never lie again and never return home to Alabama if God will work a miracle for her. We're so good at making deals with God, aren't we? That's perhaps one of the most common forms of prayer. Dear God, if you will only make this biopsy come out negative, I promise I will never smoke another cigarette as long as I live. Dear God, if you will get me out of this mess, I promise I will never again spread gossip. You know how that goes. We all do. So Arlene, or Lena, as she's known in her hideout up north in Chicago, does a fairly good job of keeping her end of the bargain with God. She becomes quite adept at rearranging facts and carefully eliminating details so that she cannot be accused of lying. There is a difference, she notes, in lying and not telling the truth. As in the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. A lot can be overlooked and even left out when we promise not to lie. There's a difference, it seems, in not lying and telling the truth, a difference that involves self-disclosure. And that's what Paul is asking for, self-disclosure. He says, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on your anger. So often Christians think it's a sin to be angry, but here Paul says it's okay to be angry, but then let it go. Get over it. Don't hold on to your anger, because if you do, that leaves room for evil to come in. Have you ever noticed that anger just really eats you up and causes you to be miserable? My anger never seems to bother the other person, the one that I'm actually angry with. As a matter of fact, the person I'm angry with may not even know I'm angry, while my head is pounding and my heart is racing and I am entirely out of sorts. Let it go, says Paul. Better even, put it all away. Those things that go along with anger, wrath, bitterness, wrangling, slander, and malice. Those words and emotions carry a lot of freight. They weigh you down. Let them go. Put them away. Instead, he suggests that we be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and he calls us to forgive each other. Part of what we do at EFM, Education for Ministry, is called theological reflection. And for some reason, when we put those two words together, theological and reflection, people become quite anxious. It may just be the word theological that makes folks nervous. I'm not a theologian, people are quick to proclaim, as if some special knowledge or education is required to think about God. And that's all that means when you get down to it, thinking about God. Theology is the study of God, and what better way to study God than to think about God, or allow God to enter into your thoughts. And maybe that's the scary part, allowing God into our thoughts. Let me give you a quick heads up. God is already in your thoughts, whether you acknowledge it or not. Whether you would like God to be there or not, God is there. So why not think about God then, and how God is part of our lives and our world? That's what theological reflection is about. Thinking and reflecting on God in a specific event or aspect of the world. One of the areas considered in theological reflection is culture. And the question we consider is, what does our culture have to say about that? That being whatever topic it is that we're discussing. This is a place where we often see a vivid disconnect between our Christian teaching and our culture, world and church, life and faith. The question that flashed in my mind immediately when I read this passage from Ephesians was that, what does our culture say to this? Speak the truth, let go of anger, malice, bitterness, wrath, and slander. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgive one another. Really? Can you imagine how different the road to the presidential election would go if we actually took Scripture seriously? Whether Republican or Democrat, liberal or conservative, this is not for one group or the other, but across the board. We might claim to have no tolerance for the venomous spewing so often found on media, yet it continues. And the reason it continues is that we continue to tune in. If we didn't, they would have no audience. And if they had no audience, they would have to find a different format. So we can't blame them. We are them. We hear so much about Christianity and how Christians have been marginalized, how our Christian values are being compromised. Yes, they are. But who is it that's doing the compromising? Those who are of different faiths or no faith at all? Or those who claim to be Christian but ignore the words of Paul? Or moreover, Christ? Let go of bitterness, wrath, and anger, rankling and slander together with malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ has forgiven you. Imagine if Rush Limbaugh and Chris Matthews decided to be kind to one another or tender-hearted. Imagine if we stopped forwarding emails that were full of bitterness and wrangling and slander. Imagine if we picked this piece of scripture for our mantra, instead of those that tell other people how to live their lives. Imagine.